Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Adyasarati Vatena Vashavo Jata Vaitpana Gopa Gopyascha Sitata Govindam Saranam Yayu. Translation, the cows and other animals, shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, all approached Govinda, Lord Govinda, for shelter. Om Janatamurandasya, Janantana Savataya, Satsurindavatam Yena, Ismai Sri Dhirvain Maha. Srike Panyamano Vishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadhamayam Vidati Sapadhantikam Adhagana Stinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shuna Dupa Kadam Bhoja Vilusham Janma Janmani Aradhi Yudhakti Visham Priyatnaya Sapayamam Rabitsamantam Sukambhriya Paradhuka Dhuki Sanatanastam Prabhumasrayami Pancha Kalpa Thiru Jasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayedaja Patitaram Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So greetings from Govardhan. I'm only back here for like a short time, and today's my last day, and tomorrow I go to Bangalore, and I go to Delhi, and then Bangalore, Mysore, Bangalore, Udupi. I'll be staying in Udupi for 3 weeks. The Ayurvedic doctor is seeing my condition. Said Ayurveda is to make the sick healthy and the healthy healthier. So you're in the second condition. But I do feel a little warm and did rejuvenation. Very healthy place, Udupi. The moist climate, very, very wonderful. Of course, it's the seat of Udupi Krishna, Vaishnav place. I'm looking forward to that. Now I'm in Govardhan. I came actually back to Govardhan. I could have gone to the south earlier to get the association of very exalted Vaishnavas that are residing here. Niranjan Swami, His Holiness Niranjan Swami is here. Unfortunately, Keshav Bharti left, but he said I could use his room. I told that story yesterday. If you see his room, it's unbelievable. Within the walls, it's like a, you know, like a cave, but kind of within the walls are these bookshelves inlaid in these 3-foot walls with so many Vaishnava literature. There's 2 altars on either side and high ceilings. And it's filled with so many beautiful pictures. I'm looking at it. And a picture across the wall, a panoramic view of Govardhan Hill, and there's Prabhupada sitting in a theater in New York, and then there's a picture of Prabhupada in San Francisco, I was in the crowd, and you see, there's people, I was in the crowd in that picture, Nicky and I, and if you saw what that was like, when Prabhupada got off the cart, it was like 20,000 people there. Prabhupada puts his hands in the air. And I remember the speech Prabhupada gave, because that's in Hippie Hill, Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. It's a huge meadow, and there were trees in the back, and there were speakers, and that was the time where everyone was talking about, you know, black liberation, women's liberation, this liberation, and Prabhupada gives the speech. This is the movement of the living entity. You know, it's beyond all types of liberation. And so Prabhupada got up and chanted, and mixed those swamis and Radhakuri, and that's just, so I remember when Kesha Bharti was trying to get the land, around here. They had to deal with the heaviest Govardhan bossies. Like, the guy huge, it's like an American football player, but a Govardhan, and very, like, powerful people, you know, and heavy people. And only Kesha Bharti, by his expertise, could actually deal with them, and he was negotiating them. So the people came into his room. The guy just stood here and looked around and shook his head, looked through all the pictures, and just went, "Bah." Bah. So I'm in this wonderful place of Bob. And today, some of you I know so from Edison, in that area, Adupati came. The devotees from Jersey, and I went half on Vikram with them. What? I see. Can I help you? You can put it to rest. It's okay. I'm just saying. They went on Parikrama, and they left at 10 o'clock. They're just coming back now, so they went 8 hours. And they shut that door. The seat just came back. But it's nice. I went to Govindakund. Shut the door. It shuts, actually. I went to Govindakund, and I spoke on Govardhan Leela, and then Niranjan Swami and myself, we walked. Okay. Well, see, on the way out, you'll shut the door, okay? You built the place, so you know how to shut the doors. Okay. Okay, I'll get going here and go around and we'll get into it. But nice, we went around and nice winter sun. And my godbrother, the house I stayed, that devotee is there now, parked with Sadati Das Goswami. So in the evening, we get together and we discuss the most important subject. The most important subject, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nam Tatva, Kaler Doshe, Nidhelajan, Kaler is an ocean of thought, Eko, Asti, Mahagana, but there's one quality. Yatanareva Krishnasya. Look this up, you get. So you're talking every night, Nam Tatva, to increase our faith in the Holy Name. Because your dedication to something, thank you, Sweet. See, I'm going tomorrow at 8. So I'll probably do no deity worship even before you come. Okay? Well, if you came at 7, your determination, your effort is based on your faith. Faith is a psychological condition of the mind that allows one to endeavor. your trust. And I think we were talking, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that, you remember that? Something like taste is, I don't know, taste, denomination, something. But anyway, we were talking about the holy name. It was right now. One point I'll repeat, because everything is the holy name. We're approaching this Krishna Lila. But the entrance to it is the holy name. Because the impact it will have on us depends on the purity of our consciousness. And the most efficacious way to purify the consciousness is not. So, it's a very important point. And Ranjan Swami was sharing some insights about, like a magnet, negative attracts positive. So the negative, the emptying out of the hunkara, of the prestige, of the pride, the sense of humility, it attracts the positive of Krishna. And we're talking about what gives taste, and we're talking about the quality of gratitude. And gratitude is based on humility, because if you have pride, you won't be grateful, you won't appreciate this. If you have pride, if you think you're the controller, then no matter what you get, it's not enough. It's not what you deserve. If you have that conception of controller, when you can get the world, you won't be satisfied. You won't appreciate it. And I gave you the example of a child who's spoiled. No matter what the parents give him, he doesn't love the parents. But if a child is trained properly, then even if the father glances on him, he thinks, oh, what mercy I got. And love comes from his heart. What to speak if his father pats him on the head? What to speak if the father puts him on his lap? What to speak if the father gave him a gift? The child's trained to appreciate. Prabhupada said we advance by appreciation. So that comes from the sense of humility. And then, and when you're feeling very fallen and you're actually looking into your heart and seeing one's condition, then the holy name has so much relevance. Because it's purifying you and it's so much mercy. You're appreciating so much the holy name. You're appreciating it. Because you're feeling, this is so wonderful, coming to me. The holy name is coming to me. And you're appreciating it so much. And what happens when you appreciate something? When you appreciate something, you love the bestower of that thing. So when you actually have gratitude, when you actually have this mood of gratitude, it's invoking love and appreciation. And when there's love, there's pleasure. When you actually have love, when you have love for something, Then love is the feeling that if you actually have it in your heart, you're satisfied and you never get bored. The whole essence of bhakti is susukam kartam. It's joyful. It's joyfully performed. This is the whole essence of that verse. Trinada pisa nichena karora pisa hishmana amani na amani. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, making oneself lower than the store in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others, in such a state of mind, one can chant always. Why? Because when you're humble, then when you're experiencing mercy from the holy name. And when you experience mercy from the holy name, then the reciprocation is love. Because what mercy is love that comes from above. Mercy is love that comes from above. So mercy is part of, and we have a relationship with him. That which gives mercy, we have a relationship with, and that our respect and love goes. So when you're experiencing mercy,
and you're humble, so therefore mercy is coming. It's just a question of whether you can appreciate it or not. The more humble you are, the more you're appreciating it, and the more you are loving the bestowal of mercy. And when there's love, then in an activity you can do it always. When someone's in love with someone, it's not boring for a minute. And Ranjan Swami was saying that he teaches his disciples to be grateful to anyone who has given him anything at any time. And this mood of gratitude, when you actually have a mood of humility and gratitude, then everything becomes pleasurable. You see a devotee, you're happy with his mercy. Here, you see Govardhan, you got some prasada. Everything, the Bhagavatam, the deity, this is the consciousness we have to cultivate. And if we cultivate this consciousness when chanting, that the holy name is coming and we're entering out, we're seeing our hearts, and therefore feeling what mercy it is. Chaita bhavanam marjanam bhava mahadavagya. It's purifying the heart. And we understand, even theoretically, the dynamic that the holy name is descended. And we're just feeling grateful, 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 grateful. Love, love, love. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And we become absorbed. And when you do that in the morning for some period of time, then you carry that consciousness through the day. If you see the deities, you stand before the deities in that mood. Grateful. You hear the Bhagavad, grateful. You hear Kirtan, grateful. I was in Dallas, and there was Prabhupada gave class. And when Prabhupada gave class, it was actually pretty amazing because Vishnu John was there leading kirtans. Unbelievable. And when Prabhupada was giving class, one devotee raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, he was a Texan. I know at least the people before me were from Croatia and Russia and Latvia. If you know, there's a state called Texas, and it's the biggest state. And everything in that state is big. If you ever met a devotee from Texas, he's real big. He's real big. And if he has a car, the car is real big. And they wear big hats. Everything is big. So this devotee stands up. He's like 6'6". And he says, Prabhupada, how can we repay you? Prabhupada said, just remain obliged. So we should be pensive. I remember one time, it's Nanda Dilal's there. Very nice man, doctor in place about an hour and a half from New York. With Satsarup Maharaj wrote his book called Shack Notes. And I often they have a program. I did a program in America. They have a holiday called Thanksgiving. And they offer thanks. It's a gross because they kill turkeys. But anyway, it's fun explaining America to East Europeans because they're so amused. Anyway, so I gave a class on Thanksgiving. And you know what my class was on? Vaishnav Thanksgiving. And you know what Vaishnav Thanksgiving is? Namo Shreshtam Nirumati Sachi Bhutram Aprasarutam Rupam Tansi Namo Shreshtam. We thank the spiritual master. We thank Prabhupada. He gave us the best thing. Namo Shreshtam Nirumati Sachi Bhutram. Look at these gifts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those of you I know, many of you come with me to Vrindavan. Namashreet, Manu, Sakshi, Akrasi, Rupam, Kasyagraja, Upada. Vatara. Those to Vatara. Radha Kunda, Grivaram Maho. We're grateful. And why don't we experience that? Because we have a hunkar and pride. I remember when I was growing up, there was like one show or something, and it was called it was called The Tales of Shalom Aleichem. I remember the song, Avinu Shalom Aleichem, or something like that. So I was impressed, like, on this one thing they had, where there was this very poor man. I just know I remember it. And somehow or other, he was so, and he went to heaven. And he was so humble, and I remember it was so, and he could, God came to greet him, and God said, you can have anything you want. And he was so poor. He said, can I have a roll and butter? That really, like, struck me. But at the same time, you know, when you're poor, how much do you appreciate? When you're humble, how much do you appreciate the mercy of God? And when it's like that, they cry every time they meet something spiritual. I remember I had a friend here in Vrindavan, and he's an older man, and he was in an ashram. And his guru was working him very hard, so he grouped. Of course, it's like a higher stage of grouping than in the West, but he knew he grouped, and he went from Vrindavan to Govardhan. And he just began to chant. And he told me, his guru finally came and got him. And he told me, he's such a nice devotee. He said, every time he would chant, he would cry. Every time he would see a devotee, he would cry. Every time he would read a verse of the Bhagavatam, he would cry. Why? Because the appreciation, opportunity advanced by appreciation. We were discussing that in Nam custom, chanting with me, looking at the heart, seeing our impurities, and feeling grateful that the holy name has appeared. Now, we're here at Govardhan Lila, and we're getting really to the Lila, what Vrindavan is about. Vrindavan was envisioned by Vyasadeva when he was to write the essence of all knowledge, and he was chastised by his guru Narada Muni for not directly enough presenting the glories of Krishna. And it's so amazing, because if you saw the story of Narada, of Vyasadeva, it describes that he was perfect in his vows, and he did all this service of writing the Vedas, and it describes everything he did. And then he was feeling some despondency. He couldn't figure out, why am I feeling despondent? Because despondency ultimately means something is wrong. It means there's disharmony with your being, ultimately. On any level, it's psychological, but ultimately there'll be despondency if your consciousness and activities are not unified with your purpose and being and what you're created for, which is to serve God. So he couldn't understand why I am feeling some lacking or disturbance. He's feeling some depression. He said, how can this be? I've done everything perfectly. But because he's sincere, he began to look into his heart, introspect. Where am I lacking? What have I done wrong? Because you see that if there's some suffering, then it's an impetus for understanding oneself, to understand what am I doing that's causing this. He went deep into his heart, very deep into his heart. And it's a very interesting point, because when he went deep into his heart, his guru came. Because the guru is the external manifestation of the super self. So sometimes that happens. When you search into the heart sincerely, then it may manifest externally. And his guru came and said, you have not sufficiently glorified Krishna. And that's the root cause of all despondency. That we're not devotional enough. So he realized that he hadn't actually done his task, and he goes into this meditation in bhakti yoga. Famous verse, bhakti yogena manasi, with his mind, he just fixes it, samyak pranayatena, without any distraction, and then he sees. What does he see? He sees the absolute reality that he has to describe. Apasyat purusham purnam. He sees. Apasyat purusham purnam. He sees God, maya chitara pasyat, and the energies of God under him. And then he ultimately sees the spiritual world, which is God exchanging with his energies. And ultimately, the chief energy, the chief shakti, is the pleasure potency. Why? Because all energies are meant for pleasure, the energetic. When you have a desire and you want to satisfy it, you have a shakti or potency. If it's the mind, you have a jnana shakti. If it's the body, you have a phala shakti. If it's the senses, you have a sensual shakti. There's some energy, shakti. So all shakti is ultimately meant for pleasure. And ultimate pleasure is love. So the essence of the Ladini shakti, or the pleasure potency, is love. So this is just a very reasonable conception that the ultimate reality is pleasure. And that means God exchanging love with his devotees. And you're free from ignorance completely. And you see the absolute truth. And you're free from ignorance. You can actually see what exists in God. And you're part of God. And you have a relationship with God. And you'll feel love for God. And that's what ultimate reality is. It's this attraction between God and his energy. And the love between them. That's the Vaisa. That's why it says the ultimate reality is rasa. Because the ultimate reality is the highest pleasure. When there's no ignorance and you actually see reality, what is reality? It's this exchange between God and the devotees to experience the highest pleasure called rasa. So now we're going to see this, and then we're going to see how Vrindavan moves it. So we have this lila. And the Leela also gives us many instructions. We see Indra, Isha, Mani. He thinks he's the controller because everyone's worshipping him. He becomes an illusion. And he develops pride, and Krishna crushes his pride. And he becomes angry because the sacrifice that was meant for him, Krishna performs the Govardhan Puja. And then he becomes so angry, and he thinks, like, let me destroy Vrindavan. Look at the pride. How dare they? The ego, it's all ego. That ego, I am the controller. How dare they? And then he says, let me, and he calls these clouds, and what are they? They're sleeping. Because these clouds are only called at the point of universal destruction. So he calls the clouds of universal destruction, and he tries to destroy Vrindavan. And it's gonna describe, and we'll get to this today, but this is the Leela Shakti. So, it says hunger which is a pain, increases the desire for food. So the anxiety in Vrindavan increases the desire for Krishna. It's like one of my favorite pastimes is the residents of Vrindavan, they're doing the ordinary activities, and meteors start to fall from the sky, and the ground starts to shake, and the left eye of the men start twitching. And everything centered on Krishna, then they automatically work. Krishna went out to the forest, he goes out every day, then they become an anxiety for Krishna. So what happens in this so-called emotion of anxiety, they began to lament for Krishna as a cow laments for a calf that has fallen in a ditch and is hurting. So the residents of Vrindavan, they begin to search for Krishna. And what is their search for Krishna? They look for Krishna's footprints. Because Krishna's footprints are so revered in Vrindavan that no one will wipe them away. So you see, this is what Vrindavan is. It's creating the Lila Shakti, the pastime potency, which even controls Krishna. Its own potency, it even controls Krishna. It creates activities to churn and increase the emotions of love. So when they're saying they're in distress about Krishna, describes every living entity in Vrindavan began to search for Krishna. When they begin to search for Krishna, you can imagine they're looking, and it's like great yogis make discrimination. So they're trying to discriminate what is the sand, what is Krishna's footprints. And they're all crawling on the sand. And from their hearts, they're calling out of love for Krishna. So what happens? What does the friend say as they're looking for the footprints in their heart? Their love is my friend, my friend, my friend. Love. An expression of love, a flavor of love. And then the parents are searching, and what are they saying? My son, my son, my son. And the gopis are searching, what are they saying? My lover, my lover, my lover. Vrindavan. The environment creates this intense love, which is pleasure. And we know the pleasure potency nourishes God and nourishes his devotee. Because that's the nature of love. When you love someone, two people appreciate the love. The person you love and you yourself. So the nature of love, the pleasure potency, although the object is God, it nourishes the devotee. Rasa Vaisaha, the whole thing is churning in rasa. So here, the same thing, the torrents of rain, like pillars, are coming down. And the water is filling up the ditches so that you can't distinguish between the high and low land, and the winds are coming. And the cows are so dear to Krishna, and the calves, and they're shivering with the excess rain and wind, and the cowherd men, they're pained by the cold, they approach Krishna for shelter. Krishna, this is bhakti. Bhakti, the gateway to bhakti is sharanagata, you go for shelter. Sharanagata. You go for shelter, where you feel completely, where you can go and be completely satisfied. All your needs are met. And generally that means where you are loved. Where you are loved, where your needs are met, that's your shelter. And Krishna is not only an object of love, he is also fully capable of providing all. So they're going to their shelter. This is This is an expression of love. If a child is lost and calls to his mother, is that selfishness or love? It's reciprocation. If you have shelter and mercy is there, and you have respect and go into the arms of your protector, it's not selfishness, it's full love. And even though this is Vrindavan, where Krishna does not come as God, he still occasionally exhibits himself as God. Because it's different from outside of Vrindavan. Because outside of Vrindavan, when Krishna manifests four hands, the Devaki and Vasudev, they pay their obeisances and start to chant prayers. But in Vrindavan, when Krishna exhibits some opulence, it never covers their feeling that Krishna is their equal. It's a very, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives such a nice example of some grass in India when they have the big pots of milk and they're cooking the, you know, sweets. They don't want the milk to boil over. They throw some straw or grass in it. It keeps it from boiling over. But if you watch that grass, it disappears and then only occasionally comes to the surface. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, that's Aishwarya or opulence in Vrindavan. Krishna exhibits opulence. But that opulence just increases their intimate love. And the mother will think, oh, my son's so wonderful. The friends will think, oh, he's so wonderful. But it'll never become more prominent than their intimate feelings. And of course, these are the animals. And they're so, shira sutam sakayena achaja sara pitata itamara bhagavata para gulam upayu. So trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own body. The cows approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You hear these emotions, this trembling and distress. But the trembling, is Krishna. The distress is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Imagine being here. Imagine they're just a rock on Govardhan Hill. And we're able to watch what is happening. And now, we see the cowherd men and women addressing Krishna. And this is their bhav coming from their heart. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhava, Katna, Tam, Gokulam, Pabho, Tatum, Arasi, Devana, Kupita, Bhakta, Vatsala. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. Oh Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us. This is classical prayer. I remember when Satchinandana Maharaj described Archana Padati, the step-by-step process of Archana, giving prayers by Rupa Goswami. It's always the same, very, very subtle. But there first has to be an appreciation of the object of prayer. If you're begging for mercy. And the greater you feel the object of mercy, the more you'll feel it is mercy. And there's always a glorification. Krishna is so high, Krishna is so wonderful, Krishna is so powerful. And then there's always an expression of the devotee's humility. And then he's praying. the hope, Krishna's mercy. And even I'm unqualified, the one quality, he's so great, he has mercy. And it can come to me. He says, you are so affectionate. Affectionate means merciful. You're so affectionate to your devotees. You please, you save us. Kindly protect us. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Garga Muni had predicted, Anena Sava Durbhani Yuyam Anjas Rishyata. By his grace, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. And they're remembering, hey, wait, at the birth, Garga Muni said this. The residents were confident that Krishna, they accepted Krishna as everything. There'll be one more verse for today. Shila Vashati Vatena Anyamanam Chaitanam Mariksha Bhagavan Nene Kupatendra Kritam Hari. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. So let's listen to Vishwanath's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's Lila Shakti to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food. And thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra, and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. So the Lila Shakti creates these challenges to increase the love of the residents of Vrindavan. I just always think of the Kaliya pastime, Krishna's in the chorus. What were the gopis thinking? Tapta Durgam, tormented, Shunya, their life becomes zero. How much their love is increasing. And that love is pleasure for everyone. The Lila increases the love. The separation increases the love. The stress, the anxiety, just enhancing the focus on Krishna and the need for Krishna. The gopis have need for Krishna. Because that's their life, and without Krishna, they have no life. What can be a greater need than their life? When there's real love, your life and pleasure becomes the object of your love. And if the object of your love is not there, you have no life. What's that hope there? Shunyayatam Nameshena? What's the Govinda Vidahena there? Which one is that? Yeah. Shunyayatam. When you're zero in the world, when I don't see you, Govinda Vidahena. What is it? What's the English translation? The whole world appears to be zero in your absence. That's real love. Without Krishna. So anyway, I'm going to stop here today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello, yeah. What's your question?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that bother me, so I guess whatever you have time for. One was that...
I want to repeat it also to the people here. Go ahead.
Yeah, one was that you know, I have trouble not seeing the devotee running to Krishna for shelter as an act of selfishness. And, you know, I'm thinking about the story that you often tell about being lost in the department store, you know, and as a child, I think the child is eager for his anxiety and his fear to go away. I don't know that the child is thinking about the love of his mother so much, you know?
Okay, let me answer that question. She's asking the question of when you seek shelter, is it selfless or is it selfish? And the example is a child cries for their mother. Right? I get Prabhupada, so we should chant like that. And is that selfless? Well, it's love because it's reciprocation. Whereas the mother, her love for the child is, I am the maintainer, I am the protector. That's the love of a mother for the child. And the reciprocation is to take shelter. The mother is feeding the child, right? Out of reciprocation, the child eats. So when the child is eating, yes, in one sense, it's the child's pleasure. But in another sense, it's the love of his mother. It's reciprocation. And that's the reciprocation from someone in a subordinate position. The reciprocation is they take shelter. It's a reciprocation to the love. And it's love. And the love means that they will also die for their mother. They will give up their life for their mother. They will give up their life for Krishna. Krishna means everything to them. But he gives them mercy. And they take shelter of him. Out of love for Krishna. So it's transient. In the material world, it's myths. But in the spiritual world, it's pure love. And they will give their life for Krishna also. Just like, even though Krishna is the protector, when Krishna is in the coils of the serpent, Kaliya, all the residents of Vrindavan are ready to run into that poisonous water and give up their life for Krishna. That's the best I can do today, Gail.
Mm-hmm.
You have another question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh.
Yes, hi Bo, who's that?
This is Hare Kirtan Das.
Hare Kirtan.
Hare Bo Maharaj.
Yeah, what's your question?
My question is a follow-up to Gail's question.
Okay.
Which is, I need your opinion.
Go ahead.
Yogeshwar and I were talking some time ago, and he asked if I agreed that material life was selfishness and spiritual life was selflessness.
Yeah.
And I said no, because self in material life, we're not actually dealing with the self at all. And actual selfishness means acting on the platform of the real self. And so it is in one's self-interest to act on the spiritual platform. So it's a kind of spiritual selfishness or positive selfishness. And I wondered if you would agree with my analysis.
There are people here. I a question. I don't know if I could translate so quickly, so they'll just have to be satisfied with the answer. Well, today is... Yeah, okay. The spiritual platform is pure love.
And pure love means that your pleasure, it's defined by Jiva Goswami. You know that verse, Nityananda? What is priti or love is to act for the pleasure of your beloved. Anyway, the spiritual platform, actually speaking, opening, this is why Gail's question is bringing that up. The spiritual platform, real spiritual platform means that, and what is love? Love means that you act according to an other's desire. And what is selfishness? Selfishness means that you see the world according to your own desire. That's basically material consciousness. Even in, let's say, material love and material selfishness, material love means when you start to see the world according to another's desires. Right? If you love someone and you're in a room and you love that person and it's stuffy in the room, right? But you're feeling, you have a constitution where you feel that's kind of warm. But you know the other person has a different type of nature and he's suffering. And if you love the person, you open the windows because you look you look at the world according to his desires, not your own. That's love, even in the material sense. The basic concept of love is that you try, your desire becomes that person's desire. And this is the nature of the gopis. The nature of the gopis is that what is, the nature of the gopis is, what is it? They're afraid to put Krishna's feet on their breasts because they think it's so hard. In other words, their desire is to have Krishna's feet on their breast. But love means they're thinking of what pleases Krishna. So the spiritual world ultimately means a consciousness where everybody is thinking, what is the pleasure of Krishna? And that's ultimately spiritual. And if one has that consciousness, whether he's here or in the spiritual world,
Maharaj?
Yeah.
I think you might have muted the phone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
But
okay.
For a while. Uh-huh.
What? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can hear you now. Your answer got cut off at whether you are in the spiritual world.
Okay. So whether you're even in the material world, there's one verse. Narayana Prasardena Kutas Chanya Vibhyati Swaga Prabhagana Apita. If you love Krishna, it doesn't matter where you are. So I think in one sense, you know, in the material world, what is the material world, basically? It's consciousness. And what is the consciousness? The consciousness means fruitive consciousness. It means that... I am the ahankara, I am the controller, I am the, you're looking at things. And this is what Prabhupada describes as maya, or illusion. What is illusion? Illusion means when you have an intense desire to see the world in relationship to your own pleasure. So you don't, maya, you cannot see that it's Krishna's. In other words, that desire creates the illusion that God is not here. So in one sense, it's just a basic consciousness. And one and the spiritual world means you Krishna is the center, and you see everything to his pleasure. Is that okay? All right, Kirtan, is there something missing there?
No, that was fine, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Maharaj?
Yeah, me.
Thank you for another great class, Maharaj. Just to kind of maybe think about this issue of selfishness a little bit more.
Yeah, please.
I was always struck by that verse that describes what happened when Brahma stole the cowherd boys and the calves, and the residents of Vrindavan treated their new cowherd boys and calves in the form of Krishna with even more attention and devotion. And the verse said, because everyone ultimately cares for the self.
Right.
And therefore, because Krishna is in fact the kind of root of ourselves, or the kind of self of everyone's self, we're even more devoted to him. And somehow it was always kind of, I always found it a little confusing, but is the point that in a way you can't escape selfishness. You can't escape being devoted to what you think is the self. But when we appreciate our special relationship with Krishna, that selfishness will blossom into genuine devotion.
Sanskrit word for self is Atma. It's the same word. Atma means most dear. So Krishna is most dear because he's the ultimate basis of reality. I'm not sure your question. Ask it again.
No, I guess just my question is, Hari Kirtan was suggesting that you can be selfish, if I understood his question or his position, you could be selfish in the right way, I guess, if you don't have a mistake about what yourself really is. And so it seems to me that verse about the residents of Vrindavan was that verse is indicating that people are naturally devoted to the self. There's nothing really, it's very natural. But that the mistake is that when we don't appreciate we have an intimate relationship with Krishna, who is closer to us in many ways than we ourselves are, when we don't realize that, that's when it's a problem. That kind of urge, which is natural, when we realize Krishna's intimate relation with ourself, then it blossoms into genuine love, into real love. I'm asking if that's the right understanding of that verse.
It's hard because I have an audience here that can't hear your question at all. I'm trying to figure out how to satisfy everyone. And I don't know if I can repeat this thing. I guess you bring up a deep existential point that I have to give some thought to. And then Hari Kirtan's point was, I guess what is real self-interest? But so that verse presents that, okay, the self-interest is ultimately that Krishna is the self of the self. He's the Atma of the Atma. He's ultimately most dear. And therefore you're saying there's a certain level where even though it's self-interest, it's okay because it's the real self-interest. But I'm not sure about that. The real self-interest is in one sense, the real self-interest is God, but it goes beyond ourselves. That's the point. So in one sense, it's in our interest. But what's in our interest? And our interest is our dharma. And what's our dharma? Our dharma is to serve Krishna. So in one sense, there is a selfish, in one sense you could say, it's almost kind of, there's a selfishness in it because it's our self-interest. And really, what is our Atma? Our Atma is part of Krishna. So it's actually the real self-interest is Krishna. But it manifests in the spirit of service. It manifests in the spirit of sacrifice for Krishna and the desire to please him and to sacrifice for Krishna. And then you get the examples of Vasara is when Ram goes, he gives up his body. His life became up. And you have the example of Nanda Maharaj. He doesn't give up his life when Krishna is gone because he feels that will hurt Krishna, even though he wants to give up his life. Right? I don't think you can get around that at least for the living entity. And that feeling is so great that we see that God himself wants to take that position, the selfless position of giving himself to himself.
I don't think you can get around that, that ultimate consciousness is not self-absorbed. And I'll give you an example, and it describes in Ramananda Sambhava the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and his devotee, Ramananda Roy, when he's asking for the topmost verse in all the scriptures. And if you look, it goes so high, so high. And the ultimate verse is explaining that Radha and Krishna in their love is so not focused on themselves that they forget themselves. In other words, there's such an intense, what is love? There's an, such an intense degree of love that they're so, Radharani is so focused on Krishna and Krishna is so focused on Radharani that Krishna forgets he's Krishna. Radharani forgets she's Radharani. And compare that to material consciousness where the sense of I am the center, the self-conception increases and increases to the extent that you start feeling that that your self-conception increases so much that you want to control something. And you want to control more, and you want to control more, and you want to be the president, and you want to see the country as yours, and then you want to conquer other countries, you want to see the world as yours. What is properly even called the extended selfishness to the body, right? This is mine, then that's not great enough. This family is mine, that's not great enough. This country is mine, that's not great enough. This world is mine. You keep on extending this stuff. And in the spiritual world, you sacrifice the self completely. Even in a fire yoga, what is the mantra? Swaha. What does swaha mean? Self-sacrifice. Spiritualize the self-sacrifice. I've been studying this in Bhakti Sandhava, where real love, somehow, you know, I've been traveling, and my frame of reference is not as hand as easily. But I was studying in Bhakti Sandhava, and when they were describing this rod, this real love, it's giving up of the self. Why? Because you're just identifying with the self. Oh my God. Who's that? What's going on here? You're so much identifying with the object of your love that you're giving up the concept almost of so much identifying with the object of your love that it's almost a giving up of the self in love. It's some sense like that. I would like to find the verses in Bhakti Sandhava. I'm just trying to give the basic consciousness. There's so much thinking of that person's desires that you become one with them. That's what love means. So I'm just saying the basic consciousness. So even if there's a sense of, you know, it's valuable, you know, because it's Krishna. But the love to Krishna, something like that. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you all. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bal.
Who's that? Hare Krishna?
That's you. Who's that?
Yuga. Okay. Yuga, you want to stay on and just talk to me now?
I can't try because I can't reach your phone.
Okay, well, do this. Okay, I'm going to speak to Yuga. Everyone else can say Vanchakalpa, Rubya Sakrit, and Rubya Vichapati Nampavani. Thank you all for joining me. I will have to prepare better for the next class. I just ate a big pizza feast outside. I'm giving excuses. Someone invited me outside in Govardhan. I went with Niranjan Swami, actually to Mother Irmala and her daughter and son-in-law. They live in Govardhan, invited Niranjan Swami and myself. So Okay, how do you know when to call for the previous stop? Everyone else should go off because I have to speak from you there. Okay, thank you for all coming.